This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. The recut, expanded version of Francis Ford Coppola's Vietnam epic Apocalypse Now is opening in theaters. Apocalypse Now Redux was edited by Walter Murch. He was the sound designer on the original version and won an Academy Award for his work. He was also the sound designer on The Godfather and won a double Oscar for film editing and sound mixing on The English Patient. When I spoke with Murch in 1996, he brought in the audio track from a scene in Apocalypse Now.
This is at the beginning of the film, and the Willard character, who's played by Martin Sheen, is cooped up in a hotel room in Saigon. He's found that there's no place in the world for him other than Vietnam. He's tried to go home. He can't. And yet he's stuck in this hotel room, and they won't give him a mission. They won't let him go out into the jungle. So it's a scene of a man stewing in his own juices. What we're looking at is this images of a man trying to pass the time in a hotel room. What you're going to hear is a transition from the street sounds of Saigon to the sounds of the jungle. So that visually there's a discontinuity they don't quite add up. You're looking at a man in a hotel room, but you're hearing jungle sounds. And so there's a fruitful discontinuity there that allows you to get inside the character's head.
Let's hear it.
Saigon. I'm still only in Saigon. Every time I think I'm going to wake up back in the jungle, home after my first tour, it was worse. I'd wake up and there'd be nothing. I hardly said a word to my wife until I said yes to a divorce. Here, I wanted to be there. When I was there, all I could think of was getting back into the jungle. I'm here a week now, waiting for a mission, getting softer. Every minute I stay in this room, I get weaker. And every minute Charlie squats in the bush, he gets stronger. Each time I looked around, the walls moved in a little tighter.
Very nice. Now, did you record Martin Sheen's voice also?
Yes, yeah.
What were you looking for? There's a kind of a very interior monologue sound to the way his voice is recorded. I think you probably recorded that differently than if he was actually having a conversation with somebody.
Yeah, no, the microphone was, we moved it as close as physically possible to him and then asked him to almost whisper.
Mm-hmm.
So that it gives an interior quality to it, that conventional narration, which has a sort of a documentary film feel, would not have. We wanted at all costs to avoid that and to give you some way to get inside the head of this character.
Another scene from Apocalypse Now that you did the sound from that you've brought with you. This is a battle scene. Describe what's happening in this.
This is midway in the film, and Willard, again the Martin Sheen character, is trapped in some trenches. There's a sniper out in the darkness that nobody can seem to kill. And he runs across a group of people, one of whom is a human bat who has great echolocation. And the scene involves getting this person, who likes to sleep a lot because he's of his bat-like nature, to come out and, by echolocation, by listening to this sniper's voice, to kill him with a grenade launcher. Visually, what you're seeing is a full battle. Flashes are going off. It takes place at night. It's very dramatic. But listen to what's happening, and you can hear gradually all of the sound goes away except for the single voice of this sniper who's taunting the GIs in a mixture of Vietnamese and English.
Who's the commanding officer here?
Ain't you? Bodies, the bodies, man! Get the roach!
We're gonna go get the roach. Go get them.
Roach!
Roach! Roach! Got slopes on the wire, man. You hear him?
Legs!
But do you hear him? We're busting.
Get
him out there on the wire, man.
Yeah.
You need a flare?
No. He's close, man. He's real close.
Hey, soldier.
Well, Wildenberg, I bet you listen that way, too. I bet you get so focused on some things you're listening to that everything else kind of falls away.
Well, we all do. I mean, it's the cocktail party effect, you know, where you're able to focus in on somebody's conversation in the middle of a very big party. And even though 50 other people may be yakking away, you can hear what that one person's saying. It's part of everyone's constitution. It's just when you work in sound, you tend to do more of that because it has to do with how you are going to put the film together.
How much footage did you have to edit in Apocalypse Now? Can you give us a sense of how many feet or how many hours worth? How about how many hours worth? That would probably be more meaningful.
Well, the film is just under 2.5 hours long, and there were just under 250 hours of material.
Wow.
So it's roughly 100 hours of material for every hour that made it on the screen. So it's actually amazing that we finished it as quickly as we did.
So why was there so much footage?
Partly the technique by which they filmed the battles. They would load up cameras of with a 10-minute load of film and have 8 cameras positioned simultaneously and then simply let loose this gigantic complex machinery of a battle. And it was actually like a battle was taking place in front of your eyes. If you happened to be standing there, you would be less aware of cameras than of there's a battle going on. So it was documentary in a sense. And any documentary has a very large shooting ratio. So there was a high documentary component to Apocalypse Now, where fortuitous things would happen, and you would capture those things. But in order to increase your chances of getting something fortuitous, you had to generate a lot of footage to do that.
Could you see the difference between takes? I mean, was it always clear to you which take was the best take?
Well, it's a funny question because what is good in one context is not good in another. And that's, if there's a mystery to film editing, it's probably that. You probably put your finger right on it. Things that you look at, that part of you says, oh, that's not very good. Another part of you says, but you know, in this context, it actually might be great. There's a scene where they're briefing Willard on his mission. And the Harrison Ford character, The trick of that scene was that Francis told the operator operator of the camera to go wherever he wanted, not to be swayed by whatever anyone was saying. So none of the actors knew when the camera was going to be on them or off them. And there's one scene where Harrison Ford, as an actor, is looking at the camera trying to figure out, is the camera on me or not? But the stare that he gives the camera, and he's looking right into the camera at that point, has an unnerving, actually a wonderful effect, which is it reads as a look to Martin Sheen, a look to Willard that says, we're in a very deep situation here, and I have to play this game by the rules, but I hope you have a lot of luck out there, soldier. So you read a tremendous amount into that look, although the look itself was simply Harrison Ford as an actor trying to figure out, is the camera on me or not? So, you know, it's one of the rules of film editing, of never have the actors look into the camera. Here, that rule is violated, so it's technically a mistake, but within the context of the scene, which is one of a building up paranoia, it actually fits very well.
Walter Murch, a pleasure to talk with you. Thank you very much.
Well, you too. Thank you very much, Terry.
Walter Murch recorded in 1996. He won an Oscar for his work as the sound designer on Apocalypse Now. He edited the new version of the film, Apocalypse Now Redux. Here's the scene Murch was just describing.
Every man has got a breaking point. You and I have them. Walt Kurtz has reached his. And very obviously, he has gone insane.
Yes, sir. Very much so, sir. Obviously insane.
Your mission is to proceed up the Nung River in a Navy patrol boat. Pick up Colonel Kurtz's path at Nu Mung Ba. Follow it, learn what you can along the way. When you find the colonel, infiltrate his team by whatever means available, and terminate the colonel's command.
Terminate the colonel.
He's out there operating without any decent restraint, totally beyond the pale of any acceptable human conduct. And he's still in the field commanding troops.
Terminate with extreme prejudice.
This is Fresh Air.